Our show is supported by Be My Guest with Ina Garten, Ina's official podcast from Food Network, back for its fourth season. On every episode, Ina invites a different friend to her home in the Hamptons to talk about life, love, and career, all while cooking up an amazing meal. Join Ina as she crafts a classic cocktail with journalist Frank Bruni and discusses the ins and outs of Yorkshire pudding with actress Emily Mortimer. If you're looking for great conversations about and over good food, tune in to Be My Guest with Ina Garten. Listen to Be My Guest with Ina Garten wherever you get your podcasts.
The million-dollar question amongst food folk, what is the next kale? Could it be cactus, the prickly pear cactus to be exact? Nopalitos, now that's the cactus paddles, and tunas, which are the pears of that cactus, are really popular in Mexico. And other countries aren't far behind. According to the UN, Ethiopia, Morocco, South Africa, Peru, Argentina, and Chile all have significant acreage given over to nopales. And Southern Italians are mad for cactus fruit. Sicilians have grown them for years, and in fact, they're second only to Mexico in eating cactus fruit. Sam Brash, a contributing writer to Modern Farmer, joined Patty Hinnich in the studios at WAMU for the story behind the cactus.
Hi, Sam. So nice to be able to talk with you today.
Hi, Patty. You too. Great to be talking to you.
So I want to know, how did you run into the prickly pear cactus?
So we almost literally ran into the prickly pear cactus on a bike ride out here in Denver, where I live. And we were biking out to a reservoir, and there was kind of a patch by the side of the trail, and we noticed just a number of people were picking the pears off the top of those cactuses. So we stopped, asked if we could see what they were doing, and they let us pick some with them, and then we brought them home and tried to eat the pears. And didn't really succeed, got pricked pretty bad, but managed to get a little taste of the fruit.
Okay, so now tell me, you had a taste of the fruit, which Mexicans call tunas. What did it taste like?
Yes. Kind of like kiwi, with the harder, bigger seeds in it.
And now tell me, have you tasted the cactus paddle or nopalitos, or did you just taste the fruit?
I have. I actually made a point of buying some of the nopalitos, the paddles, and cooking them with some of my friends. And we made nopalitos tacos. And it's great. It was kind of like a mixture between string beans and okra. I had read in researching the article that the main worry with the paddles is that they can kind of end up being a little bit slimy.
Yeah.
Well, we boiled them before we sautéed them with all the other good stuff that went into the tacos. And that really took care of it. So by the end of it, the texture was maybe a little bit more like green beans, but it had a stronger taste to it that I really liked.
Yeah, nice trick. And they have such a nice bite.
Yeah, they do. They do. I mean, it's one of those foods where you just got to wonder why it hasn't caught on more. You know, it did come when I bought it at the grocery store, as I'm sure you know, with the spine still attached. And much of our like worry and preparation was getting the spines off of it. And I did get pricked a little bit, but once only at the beginning. And after that, I really got to say it was no harder than peeling a cucumber.
Right. Now, let me ask you, Sam, who is growing them?
I found a couple of places, both of which were out in California, that are growing nopalitos and the tunas or the fruits. Most of the actual agricultural production is obviously in Mexico, but a few places are cropping up in the States. And one of those places is Darrigo Brothers Farms, and they put out cactus pears under the Andy Boy brand. Mm-hmm. And they have a dedicated 350 acres of just cactus, which makes them by far the largest cactus farm, you know, for food production in the United States.
That is huge. Now tell me, where does that last name come from? Doesn't sound Mexican.
Right. It's from my understanding, from what they told me, it's actually an Italian name. And most of their customers are still Italian immigrants because, I didn't realize this at all, but Italians, especially in Sicily and southern Italy, love eating the cactus fruit. And like I was saying, Mexico, according to the UN, is by far the largest producer, but number two is Italy.
Wait. And how did they get to Italy?
I've read Columbus. I haven't confirmed that. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that, you know, that Columbus like showed up in Italy with a bunch of cactus pears, and everybody fell in love with them. But it seems that at some point, trade with the New World brought those over to Italy, and it's become this real staple of Italian cooking.
Okay, now what's going on? Are they starting to sell the cactus paddles or the nopalitos?
Well, they are. It's a food that more and more people say is really, really good for all kinds of aspects of your health. You know, just to name a few, apparently the cactus paddle is full of fiber, it's full of vitamin C, it's full of antioxidants, and kind of the most interesting benefit of the cactus paddles is that it helps control blood sugar, which I didn't realize. So there's actually a lot of people who are ordering these cactus paddles online and buying them at the store who are using it as sort of a folk medicine to help treat diabetes and help regulate blood sugar.
It is one incredible ingredient, and I think as long as they sell them without the needles, they're going to really pick up. But I'm wondering, you know, this incredible ingredient, have you seen modern-day chefs using these nopalitos, or is it only the Mexican restaurants?
I have talked to one friend of mine here in Colorado named Adam Brock. He runs a food nonprofit. He knew of a chef who used the nopalitos in a salad. So I would imagine there are chefs out there who might not have a inclination towards Mexican cuisine, but have been starting to use this crop because of its, you know, not just its health benefits, but because it grows locally in places where there's not a lot of local, you know, crop. You know, for instance, in Colorado, so much of what we eat isn't native to Colorado. This is an example of a food that could be grown as a crop, but often just grows as a weed, you know, like I saw on the bike ride on the side of the road. It's easy to grow. It requires no agricultural imports, or if it does, there, you know, very little water, very little pesticide, very little fertilizer. So I think it really appeals to chefs who are trying to reach that audience who's interested in local foods. And as far as, you know, these semi-arid or arid places, it can't get much more local than cactus.
Right. Well, Sam, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Fatty. It's been great.
Sam Brash's article, A Prickly Question, Could Cactus Be the Next Kale?, appeared in Modern Farmer. Patty Hinnich is host of Patty's Mexican Table, and you can find a recipe for grilled nopales on the website, splendidtable.org.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.